Hi, this is Matthew Dix, and this is NEPM's Valley Voices Summer Shorts podcast. And this is my story, Dancing with the In-Laws. I chose this story because the theme of the evening was related to the Berkshires, Western Massachusetts, and I live in Connecticut. But my in-laws, Barbara and Jerry, live in the Berkshires, so many of my stories, almost all of my stories about that region of the world, are related to those two people, who are insanely interesting and occasionally kooky characters who I met a very long time ago and wondered if I would ever have a meaningful connection with. They're just so different than me in so many ways. But this is a story about how, regardless of our differences, there's so much in common with so many people in the world that we can often bridge the gap of those differences by something as simple as this crazy night I shared with my in-laws when I just was getting to know them for the first time. I pull my car into a dirt parking lot somewhere in the foothills of the Berkshires. I'm looking at this low-slung wooden building and it sort of strikes terror in my heart. I turn to my wife, Alicia, who's sitting next to me, and I can see she's just as worried as I am. We're not worried about the building or the parking lot. It's the two people in the back seat of our car. They are cackling, laughing. They are drunk. They're blitzed out of their minds. Their names are Barbara and Jerry Green, and they are my in-laws. About 2 hours ago, we were having dinner at a place called Jonathan's that had just opened up. It didn't have a liquor license, so it lets you bring in your own alcohol. So my in-laws came in with two large bottles of vanilla vodka and drank it from water glasses all night long. They're not the kind of couple that gets drunk on a Saturday night, but the cheapness of the alcohol and the designated driver, they decided this is the night to tie one on. And it was fine. I really enjoyed watching them get drunk. I figured I'd take these 70-year-old teenagers and drive them home and put them to bed and be done with it. But as we were leaving, someone shouted to Barbara and Jerry, "Hey, do you want to go dancing?" And they don't dance. Like, they are not dancing people, but 9 gallons of vodka inside you will make you do anything. So they said yes. And so we get the address for a dance hall down the road. And that's what I'm staring at now, this wooden building, which is not a dance hall, at least in the minds of these two people. This is a rock club at best, but probably a biker bar based upon all the Harleys parked out in front. And I just know that, like, this is my kind of place. This is where I grew up, but it is not where these two people have grown up. I could not be more different than my in-laws. They are sophisticated, they are cultured, they are New Yorkers who have a home in the Berkshires. My wife grew up at the opera. She grew up in museums. The first museum I ever entered in my life was the one my wife took me into 6 months before this had happened. I grew up in a little farm town on a farm. I never went anywhere. My wife has been to Paris and Bucharest and London. I once went to Pawtucket, Rhode Island to watch the Paw Sox play, and it was amazing. Barbara and Jerry and my wife are Jewish, and I only believe in public education, Bill Belichick, and myself. Like, we just can't be any different. And staring at this building, that's the problem, because I've always felt this gap between us. I've always been trying to sort of hide the gap between us. I don't want them to know that I don't really know what Brie is, and I don't like wine, and I don't really read the books they read. I don't want them to know sort of how low and pedestrian I am. And I feel like this is gonna be it. Like, the worlds are gonna collide and I'm gonna get smashed between them. And so before I can even stop them, they're out of the car and they are running across a gravel parking lot, two drunken retirees who should not be moving this fast. And by the time I get to them, Jerry is yelling at the bouncer. It's an enormous man in a lawn chair, and Jerry's asking why he should pay money before he gets a drink. He's never seen a cover charge in his life. And so I get in and I slide $20 in, and we get inside. It's worse than I thought. Theoretically, it's a dance club because there is a floor and there's a DJ playing Motley Crue's Girls, Girls, Girls. But no one's dancing. Everyone is either at a table drinking or surrounding the bar in the back. It is jeans and leather. It is blue collar. It is my people, but it is not Barbara and Jerry's people. So I land them at a table and I tell them I'll get a drink, and I get vodkas on the rocks with as much rocks as we can get in to sort of mitigate the situation as much as possible. And when I get back to the table, Jerry's nowhere to be seen. And Barbara says, he went to the bathroom a long time ago and he hasn't come back. Could you please go check? Because I'm worried, and now I'm worried too. So when I get into the men's room, I can't believe what I see. It's this 70-year-old man. He's standing in the bathroom, and there's four men at the four urinals. Each one is like bigger than the next, and Jerry is behind them extolling the virtues of big band music to them and explaining how if we just played some Count Basie, we might actually have some dancing. And so I sidle up to Jerry, and I just sort of quiet him down, and I wait for a man to leave so Jerry can take a place, and I wait so I can have a turn too, and I hear Jerry sort of washing his hands, and I say, back to the table, just go straight back to the table, don't go anywhere else, I'll be right behind you. And so I'm at the sink and I'm washing my hands, and I really am thinking, like, I've got to get him out of here, and I just wish that I was a little more than what I am. I wanted them to feel like I was the perfect person for my wife, and I just always felt like they would never really feel like that based upon who I am. So I come out of the bathroom, I enter the main room, and I see something that in all of the universes that have ever existed in the world, this is the only time that this could ever possibly happen. Jerry Green is on the dance floor, and he's dancing with a woman at least a third of his age, who he has never seen before, and none of us have ever seen before. And the song playing is Jet's Cold Hard Bitch. And they are just having the time of their life. And I look over at the table at Barbara and Alicia, and they are cackling with laughter, watching this man dance on this dance floor. And it's just this moment where I recognize, for the first time ever, that we are very different people in many different ways, but maybe that's not so bad. Like, maybe actually the problem with this gap is that I am keeping the gap open. That they're in my place, around my people, and they're having a great time. Like, they're not judging it, they don't care about it, they love everything about it. It's that moment when I recognize maybe it's okay that we're different, and that chasm doesn't need to be quite as wide as I thought it needed to be. Jonathan's goes out of business in 6 months. And that rock club burns to the ground exactly 1 month after we leave it in what is later labeled as a fire of suspicious origins. But 18 years later, Alicia and I are still married. And we have two kids, Clara and Charlie. And they have two grandparents, Nanny and Gramps. And they are people who miraculously, for reasons I really still don't understand, love me for exactly who I am. And I love them for exactly the same reason. Thank you.
That was Matthew Dix. I'm Katie Wright, the producer of NEPM's Valley Voices podcasts, and we'd love your feedback. You can get in touch with us by email anytime at valleyvoices@nepm.org. And then we can include you on our email list so you'll get all of our announcements about our upcoming Story Slam season and how you can get involved. Email us at valleyvoices@nepm.org. And in the meantime, see you next week for another one of NEPM's Valley Voices Summer Shorts podcasts.